The following audio is from Sand Hills Community Church. More information about Sand Hills Community Church is available at www.sandhillschurch.org.
We're so glad you are here. I'm David Olshan, one of the teaching pastors here, and I hope you had a good New Year's Eve and a good start of a new year. I'm not a big proponent on New Year's resolutions, although last night I did a wedding, and it was really sweet because, you know, here's the first of the year and this new couple, you know, they're both early 20s, and, you know, I'm doing my little spiel, and they are in la-la land. I mean, they're not hearing anything I'm saying, and, you know, I could have said, you know, Jamboree, like Panthers, like Patriots, they wouldn't have known. They were just so gone, and but it was kind of sweet to see them in their new element. And I'm trusting that you'll have a wonderful 2018. So my dream and my vision and my goal this morning is to fulfill what one of my friends says. He says, his name's Tony, and he says that those who teach and preach a lot, once they sort of get into their element, and they've been doing it for a while, they seem to land on one theme. And so if you know a certain teacher or preacher, you probably notice that they kind of hit one thing and kind of stay on there. And not so much a hobby horse, but it's just to become something that they're thematically passionate about. And so this morning would probably be mine. And that would be one of the things I want to talk to you about this morning is not so much setting a New Year's resolution, but having a vision and a dream for what God wants to do in your life. So I'm going to pray for us, then we're going to get going. Jesus, thank you for today, a new year, and we give you this year as a people, as individuals, as a church, that you would work your will in us, that we would desire that above all else. Would you give me your grace and your strength this morning? In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you would dare to say, and we'll go out on a limb here, how many of you would dare to say that this year you'll probably have some surprises? Okay, how many of you would dare to kind of go out on the limb and say, I'm going to guess this year we're going to have some changes in our life? Okay, how many of you would dare to say something good is going to happen to me this year? All right, and how you dare to say something bad is going to happen this year? Okay, so all that conglomeration of stuff is good. How about surprises? Let's do a little quick quiz here on some 2018 surprises. Here we go. A. Jeff Philpott will wear a coat and tie three times in 2018. What do you think? Yeah. Nah. B, Georgia will upset Alabama in the championship game tomorrow night. All right. Columbia will have a 10-inch snowstorm this year. Jack Mandel will become mayor of Columbia. That would be a disaster. Or E, you will keep your New Year's resolution. Okay. 92% of New Year's resolutions fail. For you math people, 8% will succeed. That is the rate of getting into Juilliard school as a ballerina. Take that, tiny dancer. 8%. How come? Well, probably because we put them too low or we put them unrealistically too high. So this morning, my hope for me, my hope for you, is that you will pray the new year in for a dream, for a vision. Now, I'm not talking about something weird and mystical. When I was a young Jewish Christian coming to Christ, I had this idea that vision was sort of like, you know, you're sound asleep in your bed, and all of a sudden you kind of wake up at 3 a.m. and you see this little figure creeping up over the bed, and it's Jesus. He goes, boo, you know, or you're in the shower and the curtain comes back and it's Jesus, peek-a-boo. All right, we're not talking about anything weird like that. We're talking about where God births something in your soul. And the question for you and for me this year is this: what will break your heart? What will grip your heart? What will stir your heart? We're going to look at the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1 and chapter 2 this morning, because here embedded in this text, sort of hidden away, is a man who is going to discover what I call a personal vision for his life. And you might be wondering, well, why do I need a personal vision for my life? And I think the simple answer is I think it motivates us. It gets us out of our funk. It gets us moving. It gets us excited about life. It gets us off the sidelines into the game. It's got the 82,000 in the stands who are in dire need of exercise. And the 12 players on the field who are in dire need of rest. It gets us out of the side, off the spectator world and into the participating world. And so we're going to look at Nehemiah chapter 1 and see what happens with this guy who is not a priest. He's not a professional scholar. He's a layman. And he works for the king, and he's the cupbearer. Here are the words of Nehemiah. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, in the month of Kislev, that's December, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, one of my brothers, Hanani, came from Judah with some other men. And I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. And they said to me, quote, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. And for some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Nehemiah gets a firsthand feeling and a personal experience of the walls that have broken down in Jerusalem. Now, this is nothing new. These walls have been broken down for over 100 years. But the people had become apathetic, had become lackadaisical. And Nehemiah is going to do something, what I'm going to call, he's going to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. He's going to start to do something. And what he's going to do is going to mourn and he's going to grieve. Why? Because it's going to break his heart. In 2018, what will break your heart? What will you allow God to do to stir up something in you that gets your attention? Now, how does this work? What does this look like? Well, Andy Stanley says this. I love his definition of vision. He says, vision is this. Vision is the tension between what is and what could be. What is and what could be. You guys got that? Ready? What is? Help me out. What is and what could be. So it's a tension, and you're living within that tension. So Nehemiah, he's got this problem going on in his brain. Okay, so Jerusalem is broken down. The walls are broken down. There's no security for the people. There's no protection. Now, this has been happening for 100 years. So is anyone going to do anything about it? And so Nehemiah, when he hears these words, it grips him. It tears him up on the inside. And he starts to do one thing. He starts to pray. Now, catch this. He gets this dream, this vision, this personal earth-shattering thing in his soul in the month of December. He does not act on it till the month of April. Let's read this next passage from Nehemiah chapter 2. Now, in the month of Nisan, not Toyota, Hyundai, sorry, man. In the month of Nisan, does anyone know what Nisan is, what month that is? Proto? April, beautiful. In the month of, if you want to know the answer, go to DC. In the month of Nisan, April, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought for him, I took the wine, he's a cupbearer, and I gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before. So the king asked me, quote, why does your face look so sad when you're not ill? And how does he know that he's not ill? We don't know. But he just, how can you be looking so sad? This can be nothing but sadness of heart. Nehemiah says, I was very much afraid because you could lose your job or you could die. I was very much afraid, but I said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? And the king said to me, listen to this question, what is it you want? What is it you want? What is gripping your heart? What is tearing you up on the inside? What would you like to see happen? And what does Nehemiah do? He starts running to talk to people about it. No. He goes and gets a commentary and starts studying. No. Then I prayed to the God of heaven. In 2018, men and women, you are going to have the chance to pray to the God of heaven to stir your heart to meet a need. That's how it happens. So how does vision start? Vision always starts with concern. Everybody say the word concern. It starts with a what we would call in the Christian community a burden, something that weighs on you, something that gets your attention, something that moves you out of this passive syndrome. Did you hear about the story about the fifth grade teacher who came in and she was really upset? All her kids in the class failed, every one of them. And she said, you know what your problem is? She wrote on the board, A-P-A-T-H-Y. That's your problem, A-P-A-T-H-Y. Kid in the back said, apathy, what's that? And kid next to him said, who cares? Now, here's what you need to know. You'll get that in a moment, brother. Here's what you need to know. We are all vulnerable to being apathetic. We're all vulnerable to sit on the sidelines. So this God-given vision that I'm asking you to pray for in 2018, I'm not praying for you to lose weight, although that's good. I'm not asking you to get out of debt, although that's great. I'm not asking you to eat good foods. I mean, why would you want to eat good foods when you got chocolate? I'm not asking you to do any of those, although those are good things to do. I'm asking you to pray to see God's vision for your life. So vision always starts with a concern. It always starts with a burden where God places something before you. So in 1985, 86, 87, I started dreaming and praying to impact the next generation of leaders, especially as it relates to youth ministry. Now that was, God bless you, that was between 85 and 87. My dream and my reality did not coexist and didn't happen till 1993 when Columbia International University hired me. So the moment you have a concern, don't assume that that dream, that burden, that vision, that idea, don't assume it's going to happen day two or day three. For me, it didn't happen for 6 years. In 1999, my wife informed me after 15 years of trying for a kid that we were going to have another. Sometimes dreams, visions, burdens, sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes there's a process to it. And we get all excited and fired up. And how do you know that your dream, your excitement, your goal, when you start to share it with someone, they will not be as excited as you are. That's why the book of Nehemiah goes on later to say, he says, when I got there, I walked around the walls for 3 days and I told no one what God had put in my heart. Why? Because the moment you tell people what's in your heart, they're going to probably pour water on it. They're going to probably throw water on that fire. So I encourage you, when you get this concern, this burden, this vision for something, it could be as simple as, I want to read the Bible more this year. It could be, I've got a neighbor who I'm concerned about. There's someone who's a friend of mine who's very poor. I want to help them out. It can start very small, very little. It's not about, you know, winning thousands and thousands of people to Christ. It sometimes starts very, very small. It always starts as a concern. Number two, you need to know this. Vision usually knows the what, but not the how. Vision usually starts with, I know what I want to do. I kind of know what I want to see happen, but it doesn't always know the how. And the how is like this. I wanted to start an organization years ago to help churches develop strong youth ministry. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. I started praying about that in early 2000s, but it didn't. My organization didn't start for 7 years. Because sometimes you just have to let it marinate and you have to put it and let it simmer. And as I was speaking this morning in the first service, I had two people coming up to me crying, saying, you read my story. How did you know? I was like, because there's something in all of us that wants to make a difference. If you're a parent this morning, let me encourage and warn you. When your kid starts telling you what, don't frustrate him with the questions about the how. Daddy, I want to be an engineer. Mom, I want to be a zookeeper. Mom, Dad, I want to be in ministry. I want to be a missionary, a pastor. How are you going to do it? How are you going to afford it? How's it going to go? What's it going to... And all you start doing, you start throwing the hows, and how's it going to happen? It's not going to be... And all of a sudden, you just see the countenance of your kid's face just drop. Vision starts with a concern. Vision usually knows the what, but not the how. What do we do about all this? What do we do? I think we have to get back to asking the question, what breaks your heart? Don't you love the fact that Nehemiah didn't act on it for 4 months? 4 months. He's brewing. He's letting it simmer. He's letting it marinate. And this, as his concern grows and as his burden grows, finally he goes to the king. And he tells the king, got a plan. He says, what do you want? He said, well, listen, I got to tell you, honestly, there's a couple things that need to happen here. Number one, you need to help me get there. Well, how long is it going to take? What do you need? And Nehemiah starts to lay out 7 things he needs. I won't go through that with you, but he starts to say, I'm going to need a letter. I'm going to need timber. I'm going to need all these kind of things. I need approval from the governor. Men and women, once you get a vision from God, you don't have to act on it immediately, okay? I want to set you free this morning that you don't have to act on it immediately. Let it marinate. 4 months before Nehemiah did anything. How do we do this? Let me give you a 2-fold strategy for 2018. Number one, pray for clarity. What's the first thing Nehemiah does? He prays. And I believe this, if you have a God-sized dream, God-sized vision, you're going to need some prayer time to let it marinate, to get that vision kind of processed. It might just be some more prayer time in 2018 for you. Maybe that's your vision. I want to spend more time in prayer and listen. And listen. And it's in those moments, I really believe that God wires most of us that when we're listening and when we're praying, that's when he drops that little thought in our head. That's when that little ticker tape goes across our little internal screen and we get these visions and these ideas like, wow, I'm supposed to start a Bible study at my business. How am I going to do that? I don't know. I don't have the answer to the how. I just know the what. And you let it simmer, let it marinate. Got a friend I need to reach. You know, a guy named Moshe Rosen was raised in a Jewish family and became a follower of Jesus. And he tried to get the churches to do something about reaching Jewish people. None of the churches seemed to be responding. So he started a group called Jews for Jesus. There was a dude named Chuck Colson. He was considered the hatchet man for Watergate with Nixon. He got indicted, got sent to prison. One day while he's in prison, he asked Christ to come into his life. Within 3 months, he's starting Bible studies in prison, the prison he's in. And when he gets out of prison, he has this dream to start this organization called Prison Fellowship, which would infiltrate hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of prisons all over the United States and across the globe. Got a guy named James Dobson, who's concerned for families. He wants churches to help them grow as families. And so he started a group called Focus on the Family. You're like, well, I'm not him. I'm not Dobson. No, but you're you. You're you, uniquely wired you with a calling and a vision to do something this 2018. You pray for clarity. And then number two, you prepare for action. What does Nehemiah do? He prays first. And then he expects God to show up through him. He says to the king, here's what we need. I need timber. I need a letter. We need this. We need that. And he expects something to happen. That's the way it works with dreams. You get the idea, and then you start to say internally, oh, that's impossible. Now, some of you are saying, Oshine, you strike me as a guy that's a natural dreamer. I'm not. But I found that prayer produces the dream. Prayer precedes the dream. Prayer then gives the ammunition and the energy to the dream. And as you listen and you hear and you spend time with God, he starts to grip you. He starts to break you. Am I making any sense this morning? He starts to do something inside of us. This is not for the special kid. This is for everybody in this room. Imagine what it would look like if 1,000 people from Sandhills Community Church, at every one of us in 2018, caught some kind of vision from the Lord that we were supposed to uniquely do. Imagine what that would do for our church. Imagine what that would do for our city. Imagine that would do for our state and our United States and our planet. It'd be pretty powerful, wouldn't it? So, what do we learn this morning? We pray for clarity. We prepare for action. We know that you don't have to always act immediately. You know that you can wait. So here's my thoughts as we close. Investigate before you initiate. Nehemiah walked around the walls for 3 days. He says, I did not tell anybody what was God had put in my heart. When God gives you a little thought, a little dream, a little goal, you don't have to tell everybody. Before you go public, stay private. Ponder it. Marinate on it. Let it simmer. Before you go public, stay private. Go into your inner chamber. Turn your TV off. Turn your phones off. Go to the woods. Go to your cave, wherever you go, and just be present with God. And see what happens in 2018. If God doesn't break your heart with the things that breaks his heart. Now, I want us to pray a prayer before we go to communion. And the prayer says this. Lord, grip my heart with the things that grip your heart. Lord Jesus, help me love the things that you love and hate the things that you hate. Help me make a difference in other people's lives this year. I want us to pray this. Can we pray this together twice? Ready? God, grip my heart with the things that grip your heart. Lord Jesus, help me love the things that you love and hate the things that you hate. Help me make a difference in other people's lives this year. Now, you've already started to fulfill your New Year's resolution right now by just praying that prayer. Okay? So let's pray it again so you walk out guilt-free. Okay, here we go. Ready? God, grip my heart with the things that grip your heart. Lord Jesus, help me love the things that you love and hate the things that you hate. Help me make a difference in other people's lives this year. You know, Jesus had a personal mission and vision to reconcile the world through faith, through the blood of Christ. Not my will, but thy will. And as we move into communion, knowing that Jesus had a vision as he went to Calvary, knowing that he was thinking about all of us, hanging on a Roman gibbet for us, knowing that his vision and his mission was to lead us to salvation, to lead us to be free from sin. My prayer for me and my prayer for you in 2018, that you'll catch it, whatever that is, very small, medium size, super size, value size, mega size, doesn't matter. What matters is you catch it. What breaks your heart? Lord God, would you lead us now as we experience you to the Lord's table? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening to audio from Sandhills Community Church. Feel free to share this with others but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. For more information, please visit our website at www.sandhillschurch.org.